Hello, hello, and thank you all for listening to Real Talk Atlanta, your favorite podcast for real life, real scenario, and of course, all things real estate. We're your hosts, River Bonds,
Ashley LeRae,
Nika W.,
and Taisha Renee, and we're so glad to have you tuned in. So sit back, take notes, and let's talk.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of Real Talk Atlanta. We're your hosts, River the Realtor,
Nika W.,
Taisha Renee,
and I'm Ashley LeRae.
And per usual, y'all know I'm excited to be here.
We're back.
Let's turn up.
Yes. Always. We're vibing, chilling, and just doing what
needs to be done.
No, that's going to forever be my favorite part. All right, ladies, the summer is slowly ending. You know, what are y'all plans? What are y'all plans to end the summer out?
Being a house,
yeah,
I'm in hibernation.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm a Christmas baby, so I kind of like the cold, but like not like going out in the cold and like that.
Okay. I'm not a cold person.
What I'm saying. What's y'all end of summer plans? It's still hot outside, lady.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of things.
I'm going on a cruise in November.
Not a cruise.
Yeah, I have a trip plan. Vacation.
Where are you going?
In December, we're going to Tulum.
Oh, what's the occasion?
For my birthday.
Like right before Christmas. Mm-mm.
So for my birthday.
That's me. Right.
Right before.
December 22nd.
All right. We'll handle our grievances.
Right.
Y'all know me. I'm just going to be brunching.
Shopping.
Hookering.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's jump into today's episode. So, of course, we get a lot of questions from you guys. And that kind of is where we get our topics from. But today, I want to talk about being a buyer and how you pick the perfect home as a buyer, right? Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about what you need to qualify. But then once you're qualified and you're getting into that process, how do you identify the perfect home?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Because there's so many things to consider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about my favorite part. Y'all know I love to jump in and talk about the finances, talk about the money.
Because that's important.
That's what it comes down to.
That's the first step.
Mm-hmm. I would say one of the biggest things I get all the time is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize your pre-approval amount is based off of what your assets and your income say you mm-hmm. can afford, right? It mm-hmm. doesn't take into account what you do outside of that may not be on paper. Mm-hmm. You know how much you spend, your spending habits. So even if you're approved for like $450,000, right? I always tell my clients, what do you want to pay for a mortgage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First question.
Because if you're approved for $1.5 million and you're telling me you want your rent to be under $2,500.
Well, baby, we need to drop that down about $300,000.
Yeah. Drop it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to know like what kind of like, what do you want in a home as well? But financially, I love what you're saying because for me as a realtor, before I go look and shop for homes for my client, I always go to my preferred partner, my lender, and say, okay, can you run these numbers for me? Because mm-hmm. then we can kind of compare and put it down. We don't have to look at four homes that you absolutely love but can't afford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always tell my clients, like, let the lender approve you for mm-hmm. whatever your max is, because you never know what can happen. Like, you probably can afford to buy a $400,000 house.
Right.
A $400,000 house. But you just may want to, you know, you want to shop for less than that. You want to spend less than that. You want to shop in the $300,000, which is perfectly fine. But in the instance where you do find that house that you feel like it's just the house and it is a little bit more, mm-hmm. at least you know you have the ability to do that.
Yeah. I recently made a post about I wish people would stop looking at a ton of other factors like the purchase price or the interest rate, because the most important thing is, what do you want to pay for your monthly mortgage?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I never really recommend, unless you're comfortable with it, to shop at your max of what you're approved for.
Of course.
That's just never mm-hmm. a good idea. Unless you're comfortable with it, then go ahead. But mm-hmm. most people, they like to stay way under whatever mm-hmm. they're approved for. Because mm-hmm. you want to try to live below your means and be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
And it's nothing more heartbreaking than being approved for like $400 and then seeing your dream home and it's $475. Like, mm-hmm. let's just kind of manage our expectations, keep ourselves realistic, and shop for the house that we can afford, right?
Yes. Right. And most people's first home is not their dream home.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is their forever home.
It's not going to be a forever home.
Exactly. It's just like a stepping stone to get to your dream home.
It's more of an investment.
Ooh, I feel like everyone should probably look at that. Unless you're like, you just hit the lottery.
Hello.
And you like won $5 million and go ahead and buy your dream home. But I feel mm-hmm. like if you're just like, you know, just regularly shopping, you should always think of your first home as your investment home. Because this is the home that's going to put that money in your pocket.
Right. Yeah. I always tell my first time home buyers, like, your very first home should make it so that when you buy your next home, you never have to go back into your pocket, right?
Exactly.
Unless you keep that property and it's like an investment property. If your plan is to, like, buy a house now, then later sell it, that the sale of that home should fund your next home, mm-hmm. and your next home, mm-hmm. and your next home. So I'm all about smart investments. And that's one of the major things I look at when it's like, what's the perfect home? Mm-hmm. But because I know Nika kind of brought this up, it's about the house too, right?
Yeah, you got to be there every day. You got to be happy walking through your front door when you are walking through your garage, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. When you get off from work, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to be like,
oh,
I'm home.
I'm home.
Like, oh. That's the mortgage terrible. Is here.
Yeah.
Don't get too caught up in that investment thing where now you living in like the super trenches you never want to be in.
Okay,
like,
we ain't stay living
in
shit.
Right. An investment.
You don't want to know
nobody over. Like, right. No, that's not going to work. I think definitely figuring out off top, right? What are the non-negotiables? Like, what are the things you cannot live without? And I have to emphasize this. White cabinets. That is not a non-negotiable.
That's That is not.
When I think of non-negotiables, what do y'all think of? For me, it's location.
Location.
Right?
I think location. I think it's if number of bedrooms. Like if you have kids, of course, it's non-negotiable that you need about 3 bedrooms because you want your kids to have a bedroom. Like if you need a garage, that's like you can't live without it. Like that's a non-negotiable.
If you have a cane corso, you need a backyard.
Right. Like, if you need like. I don't want carpet. I want hardwood floors. That's not non-negotiable. Because you can easily, anything that you can easily, anything cosmetic is not non-negotiable. Because you can easily go ahead and change that. And you don't have to change it right when you move in. You have you can do that over time. And you can save for it.
The only thing that you can't change, and I tell this to my clients every time they get pre-approved, I'm like, okay, look, let's have this conversation. Because the only thing you can't change is the location and the size.
Right.
But also,
I mean, you can add on and make it bigger if you want.
For me, most of my clients, they're about the property type. So a lot of new buyers, they don't know, some of them do know, but some of them really don't know the benefits of like having a townhome if you like don't really have a family and then single family like undetached and unattached property, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, that's their non-negotiable.
Right.
They have to have the yard, the backyard, right? Whereas other people, they're like, I can't handle the backyard. Like I have to have a townhome. Right. Or I have to have a condo. Really know the property types that you're interested in and for why is the reason.
Yeah.
And also ask your realtor, you know, what do you think about that based on my situation?
So. You still have to be realistic with that too. Like I feel like everyone wants a single family home, but you may not be in the right budget to get a single family home. You may have to get a condo or a townhome because it is a little more affordable or like within your price range. And that's perfectly fine. I love townhomes.
Especially if you want to live closer to the city because when you're closest to the city and you're shopping in a lower budget, condos and townhomes are definitely going to be your best because once you get to those single families close to the city,
it's
pretty penny. Unless you're a $1 million shopper or close, you know. It's,
you have your things intact.
You're going to be in Brookhaven with a single family for $300,000. It's just
immediately
happening, you know. So keep that in mind.
No, and I think that's a good point. I think a lot of times you have to incorporate your lifestyle, right? Because you know, if you know you're on the go 24-7, you don't need a whole bunch of land. That's stuff that you have to maintain. You know, you go into a townhome. When it's less maintenance, things like that. And then another thing is like with functionality, right? Because I'm super big on layout. I will change a floor, change a cabinet. I'm not knocking the walls down.
Right.
So I feel like the layout has to literally work. If you have 5 kids, all the bedrooms may not need to be right next to you.
Right.
Those kind of things. I think like layout is another thing that has to like work for your lifestyle. I had a client, he was a music producer, and he was like, yeah, a townhome. I'm like,
now you're going to be bumping that.
Right. That you might need some space. I think just figuring out what you do on an everyday basis and like how that kind of ties into your lifestyle.
That's important. And my biggest thing with the location too, like you said, functionality, think about your lifestyle. Do you want to be close to your job or do you not mind a 30-minute commute or near your children's school or something like that? That's the big thing with location for me.
Yeah. For me with location, I like to think about the future. Like, is this location growing? Like, you know, is there a lot of developments here? Is there the school systems? Like, I look at all those things for when I want to sell it in the future. Do I see myself making the max profit that I want to make off of it?
That's really good.
So definitely talk to your realtor about that. Like, what's going on in that area? Like, they can tell you what's being built over there. They can tell you what the school ratings are over there. Well, the sites can tell you. There's the websites for you to get that information.
Hello.
You can look at that. We're not going to tell you directly, but we can share helpful resources to help you make that decision.
And developments can take time. It may not necessarily be like a year from now.
Oh, yeah.
It can be like 10 years, you know. But still, that's a really good investment to think about.
Right.
Yeah, and I think another thing is like being realistic, right? Because I do think it's important that you do make moves that makes sense for long-term investments. Mm-hmm. But do not put yourself in, like, an inconvenient situation, right? Like, if you love a house, but you know it's going to be a 3.5-hour commute, like...
No.
That's
yeah. Stop. I think unless sometimes, you like the drive.
Okay. You're going to have buyer's remorse, and they're going to come back like, oh, my God, this is not for me, and you pushed me, you know. Like, you pushed me to make that decision. Like, really, you know what I do for my buyers? I have a pros and cons sheet where it's like at every showing, we're going to – I want you to look at every possible option so you can get a feel, because I feel like buyers really don't know what they want until they see it or until they're in the home.
Especially first-time home.
Yeah, first-time home. Buyers are like, wait, I really like a townhome. Yeah. And I was really stuck in the, you know, I like having – Right, so in that mindset. So definitely, you know, take your time with the search. Yeah, it's worth it.
Another thing we talk about a lot, though, is like being open-minded in the process, right? Because I feel like a lot of, especially in, no shade to the first-time homebuyers. Yeah. Y'all know we love y'all. But I feel like a lot of times, first-time homebuyers kind of go in like, this is what I want. Like, I want this, 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 and not open to like the possibility. And I think to find the perfect home, you kind of have to be open to seeing, you know, stuff that you may have otherwise not wanted to see, y'all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're in 2022. We don't have the inventory for you to be picky. Like, it's just not there. It's like, you're just not going to have a house because we can't make the house for you. Like, you have to be open and even just see what the inventory is looking like when you, you know, you're in the MLS. See what's out there. That's the only way. I feel like once they kind of see what's out there, maybe they start changing their mind. Mm-hmm. But some people are, they really tough. They know what they want and that's fine, but you have to be open.
Yeah.
For sure.
And some people really do have their own timeline. That goes back to knowing what you really, really want as a buyer, because someone might be starting their process way ahead of time of when they're supposed to move out or make that next step. So those buyers that I have that are picky are people that are, they know they have the time for it. So they're not going to just pick anything. And I don't want you to just pick anything, because then you come back to me and say, man, I don't like that realtor. Yeah. She pushed me to do something. I hate that feeling. So I want you to really love your home for what it is.
Yeah. I feel like, do y'all think this is a good word, like compromise? Because I have a client, for instance, she wants a single family home, but the upstairs, she wants a loft. Okay, that's fine. If we don't find a loft, I'm like, well, will you take like a basement? She's like, no. I want a lot, but it's still the same space. You know what I mean? I guess.
I think I would say yes and no, right? Because I think it kind of goes back to your non-negotiables, but it also goes back to being realistic, right?
Right.
I think it's okay to have non-negotiables if it makes sense to very specific things within your lifestyle, right? Because like you said, if you're not in a rush, a house for you will come.
You have that feeling. Oh my God. I don't know about you guys.
The feeling.
Yes.
You know.
I will go and wait for my client to get to the home. I was like, oh my God, they're going to love this. This is their house. You know. I have this, like I have this little tingly feeling in me when I know this is the home for my client.
Yeah, I had a client just recently and it's so crazy. She actually went to high school together. She's about a year younger than me, but I guess she went to Spelman for college. So she kind of been out here and she kind of hit me up. So I'm like, oh, okay. Back home, I'm thinking Chicago. She's like, no, girl, in Atlanta. So just like home shopping for her and like having known her all these years and stuff like that, it was an amazing experience. But of course, you kind of know them a little bit better when you know a little bit more about them. And literally, I think that was a Labor Day weekend, we saw like 11 homes. They were all good.
Oh my God.
But the very last one, I was like, this the
I'm crying.
We gotta put the door for
it. Like, this it gets is so emotional. Beautiful. Like, I just feel like you know what you know. So I think another thing along with being open minded is just having that patience, because if you really are a stickler, I don't want to call your client a stickler, but like if it's you're a stickler for something specific, it's okay to wait. And
Yeah, it's okay.
If you have the capacity to do that, if you have the time, then absolutely.
I feel like you have to really have decision making skills. Now, there's a difference between being patient and being indecisive and not, you know, not really taking account, you know, of your realtor's time and, you know, the drive and all those things that we do.
Time.
Yeah, the lender's time. So you can't just like, oh, I like it. And then you go home and you talk to your auntie. Tomorrow, you don't want the house anymore.
And then you're a real person.
What was the reason?
What was the reason? You know, like,
whenever my client doesn't like a home, I always ask for their feedback. Okay, why didn't you like it?
Yeah, so you can make that note.
I didn't really like that curtain they had. I'm like, wait a minute. That's like, come on. Like, you
know. Girl. I'll go in and remove it. You just didn't like the house.
Let's move on.
And I'm actually glad you brought up, no offense, TT, but like, I'm glad you brought that up. I think another major thing about finding the perfect home is not being influenced by people who are not finna pay your mortgage.
Okay, who not finna even stay in the house.
Who may not even visit you, if I'm being honest, but I mean, whatever. Because I feel like a lot of times, like, they'll say, oh, my mom didn't really, but is your mom living in the home? Again, no shade, mom. Mm-hmm. No shade, but I feel mom, like you have to really take into account yourself versus what other people are saying about the home that's for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to my experience, I've literally had the most smoothest deals with the clients that have never disclosed to anybody close to them that they're buying a home. They're purchasing a home. It's crazy. They're like, I haven't told anybody. And look, those,
don't. Yeah, right. Don't. And don't. Thank you. Okay, my clients come with the whole family. I'm like, oh,
hey. Oh, my
like,
gosh.
No, I really be playing it. I'm like, so, mom,
gonna be a long
how do you
showing?
Like it? What about you, then?
Yeah.
Sometimes they be quiet, though. That, you know.
Yeah, I think it's okay to get opinions, but I think when that opinion starts, like, really boiling over into, like, what you want.
Right.
That's when it becomes problematic, because it's like, one day you're like, this is the house of my dream, and we getting the offers ready, and you're like, well, actually, I feel
I feel like we're talking about relationships. It's like a man, like, oh, I really love him, but your family's like,
you can't be with him.
You can't be with him.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
If you're not willing to die about it, it's not the right one.
That's right.
Die about it.
I think that's a good thing. No, but we did kind of bring this up, so I definitely want to ask you guys, because I know some of you guys have experience buying your own homes, and then I know what you actually, of course, being from Atlanta and stuff and seeing your family go through it, how would y'all describe, like, when y'all found the perfect home?
You know it. I literally did a day of showing, just a day. We probably looked at like five houses. Wow. We looked at five houses because the inventory is low at that point. It wasn't much to see, and I was like, I need
a realtor. You know.
I was, of course, already plotting on it, so like I already knew. But when I walked in, it was just like, I don't know. But I feel like it was so weird to put myself in a buyer's shoes and out of the realtor's shoes.
Yes.
I like, because when I go in the house, I'm like, I'm looking at it for you. Like, I don't get no emotional attachment. But like when you put yourself in a buyer's shoes, it's like, oh my God.
This
the
is
walls
the one.
Are talking to you.
I love it. Yes, like, yes this is my house.
Look, are you saying yes to the dress?
That is that. I don't know. That feels like your heart is just like, I don't know. It just feels so full. Like, wow, I'm really see myself like
I bet you put your all into that offer. Like, I gotta get this out.
Oh yes, I was checking on her every day. So what's going on?
Yeah, like you were more into the deal.
I was trying to get the right price. I'm trying. She wasn't trying to.
Yeah,
we met.
Yeah, I feel like to find a perfect home, everything's gonna go smoothly. And when I mean this, I really truly mean this in my heart. Like, you know, everything is going to go the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
You're going to work with the agent is going to be smooth to work with. Transaction is going to move smooth. If it's for you, it's really, really going to be for you.
Ooh, I always say that.
Okay.
I always say that.
And I remember when I had my first couple clients, I used to describe to them like the home buying process as dating. You're dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're supposed to date around multiple, look at multiple homes, right? But when you're and not commit to a home yet, you're supposed
Hold
to
on.
Like, no, sometimes,
personal.
No. Sometimes you fall in love at first sight.
Don't put all your eggs
right?
in one basket.
That's not a pimp. It's like dating. It's like dating because sometimes you fall in love at first sight, and sometimes you date around. But when is the one?
You're gonna know.
You know, I kind of like that because I feel like when I found my home, you know, I did a circle back. Like, you know, I had to I thought it was, and then I had to
really go back.
Circle the block.
It's like I was looking at a couple different homes. I put an offer. Actually, my house broke up with me, right? Because they picked another offer. So I went and found another one that I thought it was the one and all of that stuff. And then my house circled back, like, you know.
Hey, we're back on the market.
And I was like, okay. That was literally it. But, like, I was going back and forth because at that point I had found another house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going back and forth. And I took my friends, you know, just wanting to get their opinion. But y'all don't listen to nobody no way. So, But I took them. I was like, oh, this house is so great. But it was something about my house, even though I did, like, the full renovation, right? It was just something about it.
You
I felt like I could see myself going
potential.
Up and down the stairs doing this. I'm like, I'm going to put my TV here, my couch. When you start seeing your personalized furniture sitting in places and you're like already designing it. Oh, when y'all come over, we're going to have champagne.
Yeah.
We're making plans in this house and we ain't even went bonding
the
on the contract.
Yeah.
So it's right. I think when you can, dang, this really is like
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
When you can look a house in his eyes and see your future.
That's how you know that's the one for you.
When you
have
can
to see the potential.
Yeah.
All my clients that find their home, they're already like, oh, I'm going to put this right here. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, they like it. Let me go ahead and call the agent.
Yes. Like, what do you think? What do you think I should put here? I'm like, I think this would look good there. You know, you got to sell them the dream too.
But. And it's the same for investors too. Like, even if it's an investment property, they already know what they, you know, kind of envision what they, because my investor, that was like that. We shopped a couple home and I found an option for him that was so, I really, really wanted him to get the house. Yeah. And he's like, he just can't see the vision. But the other home, he walked in, he was like, this is the one.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Investors be,
and it was like, oh, I love it.
When I feel like you know. Even more the first time homebuyers, investors, no. So my dad is a, you know, he owns a construction company, and he used to walk in the houses. I'm talking about, I'm so scared. I'm behind him, like, ugh. He like, this is a beauty. Like,
magnificent.
Excellent. Like, no, but it's like he always could see the vision. So I think that's the big thing. Having a vision, seeing the vision, that's kind of what makes it work. So,
yeah.
Y'all going to find y'all first home. I believe
for
it.
For sure. Yeah. And I even want to say, I feel like it doesn't always go easy for people. Like, of course, sometimes, like, yeah, you find the right house. But with real estate, like, there's always something. Something.
So if you have a bump in the road, don't feel like, oh,
it's not meant to be. Right, right.
Because it's all, listen, it's always bumps. Like, regardless, you're going to have something come up properly.
Don't let that deter you from something, you know, like, that could be your dream home. That's made for you. So,
if you have we are here. Oh, no,
go ahead. If you have a great realtor, you won't seem like it.
So, like, just a quick recap, of course, when you buy your home, make sure the home is for you, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you are making decisions based off of what your finances can allow you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're, you know, buying the home for you and not the people who are not going to pay your bills. Now, if they're going to pay your bills, taking it to
a little bit.
Right. But just make sure when you find the home for you and when you're out shopping, you're shopping for yourself and what best fits your needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you look at the numbers. Make sure it makes sense.
Numbers don't lie.
Okay.
But I think that is a great segue into our favorite segment of the day with our realtor, babe, Miss
Ashley LeRae.
Oh my gosh.
What we got today?
Thanks. She started a singing group.
That was She's cute. Blushing,
can
y'all.
We sing? Can we sound like a
group really singing next real episode. Life?
Destiny Child.
So for the question of the day segment, for those of you who are just now tuning in, we have this segment where we answer questions live on the show that are submitted to us via Instagram at Real Talk Atlanta or via email at realtalkatlpod@gmail.com. Ooh. That is such a hand.
Yeah.
What mouthful.
Just Google us. You'll find us.
You'll find us.
Google me, baby.
Silly.
Yes, that.
It can be anything personal or real estate related, but you got to keep it cute.
Keep it cute.
Okay. So for today's question, someone asked us our advice for if you're looking to purchase a home with your significant other or your partner, what would our advice be? You know, we're four young women and homeowners. Some of us are in relationships. So, like, what advice would we give somebody?
That's a full
episode.
That might be a whole episode.
We got to give a few nuggets.
Just a little nugget.
Yeah, that's a full episode.
I would say I just bought a house with a man. So I feel like.
With your man.
Not just any man.
My man.
But no, I say buying a house is not something small. So, of course, don't just go buy a house with anybody, okay? Like, when you make that decision that y'all are going to buy that house, like, you just, because I know me, we just had a really serious conversation. Like, where do we see this going? What's the future? And if you see that and you feel that and you know that the future is like, okay, we here, we here, this is what we're about to do, then you do it on your own time. Because a lot of people be like, oh, you shouldn't buy a house before you get married. You can do what you want. I feel like there's no timeline to when you should.
Especially if y'all already living together.
If it makes sense, do it. Period.
My biggest piece of advice is you have to know the person, right? You have to. My biggest thing is obviously this is a really big investment. So you want to make sure that the person you're buying a home with, that they're financially responsible. That's the biggest thing.
We don't want no broke boys.
Okay.
Hello.
You want that mortgage paid and you don't want to be kicked out that house.
Okay.
So
no, that's I'm going to just piggyback on that and keep it as cute as possible. Know your man.
Okay.
Know his money.
Oh.
If the money is not there, and I'm just being real honest, I feel like, and this just goes for anybody, anything, like, don't tie yourself up in such a large, a house is debt.
Don't carry
a big commitment.
Don't carry a man.
And it's debt at the end of the day. So, like, do not you know, take on such a large piece of debt, if you feel like the person that you're taking it on with, A, would do something spiteful, like walk out that door and leave you to pay for it.
Yeah.
Or
just
take all the of furniture. Those,
like, okay. Now that's a scrub.
Please be equally yoked.
Yeah,
equally
yoked. I think being equally yoked and just making sure that financially is something that makes sense to do with your partner, whomever, I think.
Yeah. Like you said, have those tough conversations, because God forbid, what if something happens where you guys do break up? How are you going to split the house?
Lord.
Like, y'all talked about
that.
You have to talk about it.
I wouldn't have wanted to experience with anybody else. Like, if
you have to know your man.
It's really good to have him there with me doing stuff.
Yeah, you have to know your man before. And that's even if you're dating, like, ahead of time, like, just go ahead and make sure you ask those questions ahead of time, because that's gonna hurt you.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you're ready, he's not ready, then now everything's falling on you. Like,
mind yourself, sis.
If you know you and your man can't communicate, or
we're gonna put an episode on that before we have another 40 minutes just on this question alone, okay?
Right.
But no, seriously, as usual, we really do appreciate all the support that we get. Like,
we love y'all.
Y'all really keep us going. So I'm excited for another 20, 30, 40, 50 episodes of these same ladies. Period. But
stay tuned for the girls.
Stay tuned. And if you want to know us together, call us.
Yes. See you guys.
Bye.
Today's topic might be at its end, but the conversation never stops. If you liked what you heard, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
For more daily content from the ladies of Real Talk Atlanta, head over to any of our social media platforms to connect with us, and let's talk.
As we put the real in real estate.